Welcome to the very first episode of the Weekly Winners Pod. It is Wednesday night, July 14th, and the Bucks just tied up the finals 2-2. They beat the Suns 109-103. I am Jer, the ML Jer, and I'm with my good friend Cody here. We just caught the end of this game. Giannis did it again. Another insane performance. He got a little help with Chris Middleton this time, but as you can see, I'm rocking my Money Middleton jersey at the Pfizer Forum, where I'll be, the Deer District. Definitely going for game five on Sunday. We're pretty excited. Bucks coming back. They lost the first two in the Nets series. Now they come back. They do it again. And I'm trying to see if the odds are up on the series, see if they have updated the next game.
I have not. I haven't seen the odds on the next games.
Bucks are it's flipping right back for going back to Phoenix. Bucks, I think, were 4.5, 5.5 point favorites tonight. They're going to be 4-point underdogs to open up in Phoenix, +138. So uphill climb, but you got to win on the road if you're going to win the finals from here on out.
Right. I mean, we knew we had to win at least one on the road.
I think we would have been absolutely overjoyed if we would have split the first two in Phoenix, because then you just got to win out at home. You just have to do your job. But now we took care of business, won both at home, get that another opportunity to win in Phoenix. So you don't have to go to a game seven, Bucks and six, baby.
Hell yeah, Bucks and six.
So I'm clinging on to these finals because the NBA is it's up there with the NFL for me. It's what I love to bet. And I'm clinging on to these last few games because the void of baseball is coming up for me, where I have to watch baseball and also lose my money betting on baseball. Thankfully, Cody, baseball is his sport to bet, if that is fair to say.
Yes, very, very much so. NBA, when I bet on that, I might as well just be throwing a dart out there. You know, just praying that I make some cash, because when I bet NBA, I usually throw together a parlay with like four different games, first scorer, and always misses. I bet NBA for the fun. Because, you know, every once in a blue moon, you hit that four-leg parlay at, like, plus 2,000 for first scorer, scorers. But, no, baseball and then football as well is kind of where I make my money that I lose
right
in the NBA.
Specifically, your baseball underdog money lines is kind of that's where you're making your money to lose at other places.
Yeah. I pretty much only bet dogs in baseball. Mm-hmm. The thing with baseball, though, you'll never see like those plus 400 money lines,
right,
that you might see in like football or
too many games,
basketball.
They don't matter enough. Yeah.
Too many games. And a lot of teams just don't have like that fourth or fifth guy in the rotation that, you know, when it comes down to it, everyone's number one is pretty even. Mm-hmm. Everyone's number two, three, four, and five, they're all pretty even. So, I mean, you do have your teams like the Pirates that are significantly worse. And, you know, you got your teams like the Brewers.
Let's go.
Staying hot this year. Love to see it.
Love to see it.
But, yeah, I don't know. I primarily will only bet dogs in baseball.
That's the knowledge that I do not have with the MLB. I can name a couple players on each team. I know, love the Brewers, love going to the games, love being at a baseball game, watch it on TV. I kind of take it or leave it. But yeah, that knowledge of, you know, the Reds' fourth pitcher is going against the Cardinals' third guy. Again, throwing dart at a dartboard for me. And my baseball betting really starts at, it's weird this year, but once basketball's over and it's the only thing going on, that's when I'll bet baseball and I'll lose money. For me, the money that I make to lose at other bets is during the basketball season, specifically teams that are big favorites against who I consider a pretty shitty team, and they go down big because basketball is a game of runs. Back when the Warriors had Steph and Durant, I made so much money on those teams because they would be playing the Hawks or somebody when they were awful, and they would be minus 350 at the start, come out, not play at all, go down like 25 at halftime. Also, you can get them for plus 600 at the halftime line, and you just bet those. They're going to come back like half the time, and you're going to hit those massive, massive paydays on the halftime lines. You got to really kind of set your schedule and watch a lot of basketball and have your notifications going, knowing, identifying those games beforehand, but that's where the money is for me. And then I get to NFL. I'll stay pretty steady in NFL. I'll lose more than I win, but that's because I do a lot of same game parlays. I'll pick a game where I think, well, the Bills aren't going to beat the Ravens unless Lamar Jackson, they can contain his run game. So rather than just bet the Bills, I'll parlay the Bills money line with the Lamar Jackson rushing under, things that I think need to happen for that game to go a certain way. So try to identify those things where you're not going to split those parlays. Maybe you're wrong and he does break out and he rushes for 150 and you lose both. But if you lose one, you lose both anyway. So usually, you know, you can make money going one and two on a day betting the NFL that way. But then Saturday comes around and there's college football on all day. And I know one guy per team, I lose all my money because it's Saturday. I'm sitting on my couch and I want to watch football. And what am I going to do? How am I going to enjoy Central Florida against Appalachian State if I don't have any money on it? I can't watch that game.
I remember it was 2 years ago now. I was watching college football on a Saturday and there was like a Alabama and just a tiny school, like Colgate or something.
32.5 point underdog.
I look at the line and it's in the 30s and I'm like, well, they got to cover, right? Mm-hmm. Colgate's got to cover. And it's like a 50-point game.
Alabama starters are out at halftime, but like their third unit, like just would be the number 8 team in the nation. Like,
right. Yeah, so I do NFL a little different. NBA, you kind of got me on the whole betting on the better team when they're down big. Right.
It's tough for a betting podcast. Can't really give those lines out pregame, but you can identify that. You have to have your eye on them. You're not going to get one every night. It's all about patience as well. Like sometimes it's just close teams and you can't talk yourself into it at halftime. It can't be, hey, it's Celtics versus the Knicks and the Knicks are down 10 at halftime. That's not one of those situations. Those teams aren't that far apart in the skill gap, despite if the Knicks might have been like 6 or 7 games up on them. That's not one of those games. It's really the extreme cases. And it's a weird one because you'll start watching this game like this year, say it was like Magic against the Nets or something. And you're rooting so hard for the Magic in the first half just so you can fade them in the second half.
You're right.
Very unique watching experience, but you learn to love it when it makes you the money.
Right. But no, NFL, I do a lot of just straight bet player props. I don't parlay really in the NFL. I mean, if sportsbooks will let me for like the Super Bowl, I'll parlay like Gatorade color with coin toss or something.
You know, the Super Bowl I had 2 years ago now, it's just maybe the best gambling day of my life where I was down, I don't know, $100-some because I had, but within the span of 15 minutes, I had bet like exactly 7 touchdowns for like a plus 400 or something. And the Chiefs are just running the ball out and the guy breaks. I don't even remember his name. Damian Williams or something breaks out for like a random 40 yard touchdown right at the end. And as I'm celebrating this, they dump the orange Kool-Aid on Reed. And I'm like, was that orange? I had that plus 700. I just make all that money back and more within like so quick. That's the Super Bowl for you though.
Right. But yeah, like player props, I like looking at wide receiver cornerback matchups,
especially with so many sports books letting you do like the prop builders. You don't even have to look for the ones that they're listing out there. You can just go pick whatever player and whatever stat you want to bet on.
Right. But yeah, I made quite a bit of cash on Justin Jefferson last year. Mm-hmm. I like putting money on like young guys I believe in because they usually get better odds. Yeah, so that's primarily how I bet football. I'll mm-hmm. do player props and occasionally I'll bet money line, but like if someone's given me like if the Jets are playing, you know, the Patriots back when they had Brady. Right. If you're giving me the Jets at like plus 1,000 money line, I'm gonna sprinkle a little bit on there.
Yeah. Especially with those in division matchups. Anything.
Right. Happen. Oh, right. I mean the Dolphins
every
year, all those like years. Clockwork. Right. And I mean, no matter who was playing quarterback for them,
no.
They would always just play the Patriots so tough.
Made no sense. But yeah, that's yeah. your in-division rivals for you. But yeah, no, NFL gets so muddled because it's like, oh, I got this player prop and this team, and I got these guys in fantasy. And I love this line, but he's going against me this week.
Right.
And oh, this guy, he's on my team, but he's playing my favorite team. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. You got so many things to keep track yeah. of, but it's just the most fun. It's the best 16, now 17, 18 weeks of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I always got this $100 fantasy league I buy into. Mm-hmm. And then I'm dumb enough to play daily fantasy as well.
Yeah.
And I'm always just happen to pick guys that I'm playing against that week. And I'm just
head yourself. Like, bit,
you just yeah. don't know who to root for because yeah, if the guys in the daily fantasy hit and you take first, you're making way more cash than you'd ever make in your fantasy league. But right. The odds of that happening are just so low.
Gets so greedy at the end of games. We're like, well, I just need like
I just need a 60-yard touchdown.
That's it. I mean, it could happen.
Right.
Just start getting desperate and more desperate. You never talk
because you saw it happen once. Mm-hmm. You saw it happen once, and you're like, oh, yeah, maybe, you know, just maybe it'll happen again.
But we're in the one fantasy league together, the Keeper League.
Yeah.
I was thinking once we get a little closer to draft time for that, maybe we see if Dan will come on and the commissioner of our league and maybe talk a little keeper draft strategy pre-fantasy football.
Yeah, I'd be in. I mean, that still follows the whole sports betting.
Right. I've been, to be honest, I've got some hard decisions coming in the Keeper League. I've been very verbal about not liking Keeper Leagues, but now I'm in one. So I really don't know what to do about it. But some right. of those favorite teams where you get conflicted with your bets, let's talk about your favorite team a little bit, those Green Bay Packers.
All right, so I have a few unpopular opinions about them, unpopular yep. in Green Bay. When they gave Rodgers the bag, mm-hmm. I got on the anti-Rodgers bandwagon. Main reasoning for that was he's always, you know, asking mm-hmm. for help. And now, well, you just financially handcuffed your organization. And I mean, there's restructuring you can do, you know.
And I did like initially the how they did his contract with that insane like $55 million bonus straight up.
No, it
kind of was tough for that year because you gave him so much money up front.
Right.
But the thought is, like this year and next year, at the tail end of that contract, you can save a little and maybe get him a little help because you have a little more wiggle room because you're not paying him $40 million a year. You pay him so much at the start. But if he won't play, it doesn't,
right.
doesn't help too much.
See, I understand that for young guys. Like, let's say Herbert balls out these next few years.
Right.
I'm okay with front loading a contract because when it gets to the end,
hopefully.
Right. But with Rodgers, he's only getting older. I almost would have preferred backloading, to be honest, in my opinion.
Yeah,
because there was no guarantee. I mean, he's had shoulder injuries, definitely. You know, hamstring. There's no guarantee when you get to that back end of the contract that he's still as mobile or as good. Mm-hmm. Obviously, right. Last season proved that all wrong, but you don't know that going into the contract.
The thing is, backloading a contract is an indirect admission that, hey, once this guy's gone and over the hill, we're not going to be good for a couple years. Like, not only are we not going to have this MVP caliber quarterback, but we're also going to be paying him like he is more than he was worth when he was better. And that's simply something I don't see the Green Bay Packers ever doing. They can never say to their fan base that, hey, we're not going to be good this year.
Right. And that's because fans don't want to hear it. But realistically, after, you know, a consistent MVP contender quarterback leaves your team, how many teams are still good after that anyway? Like,
but no other team has had the luxury of 34 years of MVP level quarterback.
Right.
Save maybe 1 year in the trade-off, but
yeah, I still haven't decided where I'm going for Packers win total.
Yeah, we will get there. I got a few numbers on Rodgers.
Okay.
Looking this up made me remember how much I despise NFL contracts. No two are alike. They don't make any sense. There's a million different things you can do. Trading people, it seems like there's one team makes a trade. This guy's untradeable. We heard Antonio Brown when he's on the Steelers that contract was untradeable. Like, he made too much money for a wide receiver. Like, no one was going to trade for him. 12 months later, he's on his second team. Since then, like, some teams can take it, some teams can't. The Saints this year had more money. They didn't have enough money to sign the players they had. Right. You know, like, they're not going to be able to field the team this year. They have no money left. They're fine. They just signed everybody. Like,
right.
It doesn't exist. It doesn't make sense. So I'm trying to make sense of this Rodgers contract. From what I can tell, if he retires this year, which that seems what the Packers are saying, they're, hey, retire or play. Like, we're not going
to. Right.
Which I was wrong at the start. Like, draft night when the news came out, I'm like, well, he's a Bronco. It's just a matter of time. We got to get past that June 1st deadline. And we're 5 weeks past it now, 6 weeks past it now. And camp's coming up. They're holding firm. They are going to die on this hill. They are going to either make him play or they're going to make sure he is the villain in everyone's eyes. Right. They're not going to give him the cop-out, like, oh, we didn't give him help. They're like, no, he's going to retire in the faces of his fans because he doesn't like the management. So if he does that, everyone knows about all that money he'll have to give back to the team because of that signing bonus. Couple that with his, like, workout bonuses, which if he doesn't show up to training camp, he'll start losing, like, $50,000 a day. And his salary this year, it's going to look like it's going to be $45 million total he's going to miss out on this year if he retires. A lot of money, but he's worth a lot.
Right.
If he retires, or if he's traded in the NFL, trading a guy and him retiring have very similar impacts on your salary cap. If he were to be traded or retire, Packers get about $14.7 million back in cap room. Little late to do anything with it, unless you're going to make some big trade for a big name guy. Don't know who that would be, but gives them some room to operate. Packers not traditionally big, like, trade deadline making moves type team, but they've surprised in recent years going out and signing a few guys. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten involved in free agency a lot more. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they brought in the Smith brothers.
Right, you have to. It's too many guys are looking to move teams now.
Yeah.
It's just not a guarantee that these guys are going to re-sign anymore.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think it's going to be the retirement route. Mm-hmm. And if for some reason they have a change of heart and decide to trade him, I wouldn't hate that either. I know we get more money back if he retires.
Everything but, that I see, especially like if you look at odds, I don't have them pulled up, but like odds for like the Broncos starter week one or the Packers starter week one. Obviously, you see like Aaron Rodgers on the, or they can't really list Aaron Rodgers for some reason. So you see like the other, like minus plus 200 or whatever. But you'll see Drew Lock listed on like Packers ones. As a Packer fan, this doesn't make sense to me. Why would you want Drew Lock back in that deal if that were?
I wouldn't. I would want.
You already have your quarter, your young quarterback, allegedly.
Right. I would want. So if Rodgers is gone, I want Love. I want them to run with Love for 3 years.
You have to just.
I don't care. You invested too much by trading up to get him. You've got to give him 3 years. Because last year, I mean, he was in the system, but I mean, he was on the practice squad for half the season. Like, right. It's like, I don't know. You got to give him the full 3 years. So in which case, if they go the trade route and it's the Broncos, I think they could squeak out KJ Hamler and 2 firsts.
How valuable do you think those firsts are? Because with Rodgers, they're gonna, if they had Rodgers this year, they'd be pretty decent.
I mean, they're not going to be as valuable. Like, they're not going to be top 10 picks. That's set in stone. They won't be top 10 picks unless Rodgers would get hurt. But I don't even know if you have to use the picks necessarily as much as, you know, you can trade picks, you can, you know, so I don't know, just personally, if you go the trade route, I would want to bring in a young wide receiver. Obviously, ideally that's Jerry Jeudy in this Broncos hypothetical,
right?
But Broncos aren't going to let him go, but I think they would let KJ Hamler go.
If I am Gutekunst or whatever his name is, and I'm facilitating this deal to get my arch nemesis Aaron Rodgers out of town, I'm dying on that hill. I'm saying, like, it's Jerry Jeudy. We have a young quarterback in Jordan Love. We're trying to give him all the help we need. This deal doesn't happen without Jerry Jeudy. If that's Jerry Jeudy in one first, I feel like kind of got to do it.
I think Jerry Jeudy is a first round pick better.
He is special.
Than KJ.
He had flashes last year that were really good. The stats weren't really there, but he had Drew Hawkins as quarterback. Like,
right.
If you can get KJ Hamler, also a good prospect, if you can get him in 2 firsts, that's a help your young quarterback a little bit, but also we're going to build towards the future. Honestly, if you get anything for Rodgers at this point, it feels like a win because it doesn't seem like he's going to play another snap.
Right. And he keeps saying, I think there's no reason to not trade the guy.
Right.
Except for money. Because Rodgers himself has said it's not about the money, which means it's a cultural thing. So he's probably not re-signing even if he stays the rest of his contract.
Definitely not. He's also, you know, 38, 39.
Right.
Who's giving him that, like, another 3-4 year deal? No one's going to do that.
Right. So it's like, but that's what initially he wanted. He wanted that contract extension. But it's like, no, you just let him go, get what you can get for him.
It's so clear it wasn't part of the long-term plan because they front-loaded that deal so much. You don't front-load a deal like that if you're planning to give a guy an extension after 2 or 3 years of it. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. But no, I think a young, ideally rookie or second year wideout is a must in a Rodgers trade deal because you want someone who can relate to Love. You want someone who can grow with Love, you know, like, because I also am a realist in the sense that if Rodgers is out, Devontae might be out, you know.
He is getting the full wine and dine package from Derek Carr
out in
Las Vegas. He wants him so bad.
See, and that's another thing, you know. So maybe you deal Rodgers to the Broncos, you get Jerry Jeudy,
mm-hmm.
you deal and a couple picks, of course,
right?
Maybe one pick, and then you deal Devontae to Vegas, mm-hmm. you bring in Henry Ruggs in a first,
they'd have to do that,
you know,
right?
And now you've that's got two young exciting, guys,
very exciting young wide receiver. Wide receiver.
That's a very exciting future. I guarantee
if a quarterback
Jordan Love, if he starts every game this year, they are under 500. He will be streaky. He'll have a game where he puts up 350 yards and four touchdowns.
You will find out
two games.
If he has and even with, let's say that situation happens, if you have Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs and you still have your like young, decent, fast guys on the Packers, like they're not
nothing. Right. Right, like MVS.
You have to put
Lazard.
If you're an NFL quarterback at any point in your life, you have to put up some numbers with that.
Right.
And that's where it would also be troubling if Devonta, if you still have Devonta paired with like your the current, like if the wide receiver core is still constructed as it is, as it was last year. That's still pretty good. He's so good that like, if you can't succeed with a wide receiver, a top five wide receiver in the league, it's going to start looking bad very quickly. Although he is right. A project, but so if thinking what you're going to think about what is going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, where would you put the Packers' odds on winning the division?
I wouldn't take them for anything lower than +500.
Rip. The odds makers could not disagree with you more. Packers to win the NFC North -143.
So that's based on Rodgers staying.
Definitely. But Vegas
usually knows. I'm saying Vegas usually does. And that's why there's a good chance Rodgers won't be gone by the start of the year.
Right. My gut says he retires, but clearly odds makers don't think that.
No, but I'm saying, let's say Rodgers retires, gets traded, whatever. Jordan Love is starting quarterback. If those odds aren't +500 or higher, I'm not betting the Packers.
Oh, no. The Vikings are too solid all around.
Right.
That is going into the rest of this division. That's one thing I say about the Vikings. For a team that seemingly doesn't really have weaknesses and does have exciting players like Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson, and a defense that's been at least together for a while,
right?
They're so underachieving to me. 7 wins last year.
Yeah.
When you have the Lions in your division, you couldn't finish ahead of the Bears.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see a world in which the Vikings don't win the division if Rodgers isn't in Green Bay.
They're +250 at the moment to win it.
Oh, is that second best odds?
Best odds. Okay. There is a world where they don't win it, and that's when the Bears are just sick. They get Dalton out of there week one. They pull a little chart. They bring the Chargers medical staff in, get a little puncture into his lung, and they go with the kid pretty much right off the rip, and he's just awesome. That's the one where the Bears win the division.
But even then, I don't think they do.
Really?
In your world, it plays out like the Chargers last year.
You're right.
You know?
Mm.
This division is not that division, though. It isn't. But I do think the Vikings are solid enough that they still win that division.
They should.
I think if Justin Fields is playing quarterback for the Bears and Jordan Love is playing quarterback for the Packers, the Bears finish higher in that division.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
I think there's going to be a little bit more of a learning curve for Jordan Love as opposed to Justin Fields. Lions, I don't really know what the Lions are just there. I mean,
if you're a Jared Goff stan, you get +2,000 money on the Lions to win the division, which is just ludicrous odds. It's there's shockingly not the longest odds to win the division in the NFL. That would go to the Texans. But
yeah,
they are giving the Lions 5 wins for their over-under this year. Ooh. Exactly what they did last year. So what they're saying, the win totals are very weird to me this year because you have to remember the extra game.
Right.
So good teams, you have to think, well, that's probably another win.
Right.
Bad teams, you have to count it like it's better than zero because there's always a chance they're going to win that game. So they're saying the Lions are worse this year than they were last year because they're projecting the same amount of wins despite getting an extra game and Rodgers maybe being gone. I think that's right. Goff is not Stafford. Suddenly right. Stafford's become America's golden boy. He is going to win the MVP, apparently.
I'm just glad Stafford's getting a chance. Everyone loves it. No one for that guy.
No one hopes he fails right now, except for maybe
right.
fans of teams in the division. But
well, don't get me wrong. If the Packers wind up in like the NFC Championship game against him,
of course
I'm riding the Pack.
Right. But right. It's a feel-good story because there's so right. many generational talents, not that Matt Stafford's a generational talent, that just didn't get out of Detroit.
Right.
Like, we're talking about maybe the best position players of all time in the NFL and Megatron and right. Barry, and they just couldn't – they're in Detroit. There's nothing they could do.
Right.
And they continue to kind of be that laughingstock of the organization. 1-5 in the division last year. Paired up with the Packers. That always tends to happen in divisions. You kind of get your pairs. Lions 1-5, Packers 5-1, Vikings 4-2, Bears 2-4, which did surprise me. I didn't remember the Bears getting beat up in the division like that. Because in that division, you kind of expect everyone to split unless there's a really bad team.
Right.
Yeah, so to do the path to success for the Bears, they have to do better. They have to probably go 4-2 in the division. You have to hope that all three of these teams, the Packers, Vikings, and Bears, are probably marking W's next to the Lions for both games in the division. But odds are that's just not going to happen. Someone, right. maybe more than one of them, maybe all three of them are going to lose to the Lions. And that's right. what's going to probably decide the division. If Rodgers is gone and the winner of this division is going to be at 9 or 10 wins, not losing to the Lions could win the division for you.
So are you taking the Lions over?
I'm not taking the Lions. If I were to make a bet here, knowing what we know now, I don't know who's taking the Packers minus 143 right now. The win total, obviously unavailable for the Packers. They're not going to float that line out there. I think I'd go plus. I don't think I'm going to act unless there's a line that I think is going to drastically move before the season. Middle of July is not when I'm going to be betting these team totals.
Yeah.
I don't really see my money putting any money on any of these teams in the division. I'd probably go Bears plus 400 if I had to, but I don't really love any of the numbers.
I just, that division, there's too many unknowns. You could have
right.
a rookie quarterback, a second year quarterback who hasn't played at all. Mm-hmm. You've got a team with a brand new quarterback. And you've got a team that probably has the most talent or the second most talent in the division, but always finds a way to screw it up.
But there's absolutely a world where Dalvin Cook is a top three back in the league this year. Jefferson takes a step, catches like 1,300 yards. Kirk Cousins does just enough with everyone else around him, and the defense is solid, and they win the division with like 10, 11 wins. It's like, duh, of course that was going to happen. Like, they had right. exciting young skill position players and a solid team around them. How did you not 2.5 times your money betting on the Vikings before the season? But I just can't put my money where my mouth is on that one.
Yeah, it's just I've watched Kirk Cousins too much.
Right.
And I think that's where I have a hard time, like you said, putting my money where my mouth is. I just can't see it.
No. It's hard to put your money on that man. And even Vikings fans don't really believe in him like that, which is always makes it harder for us to believe in him, especially
yeah.
seeing so many Vikings fans not believe
in him. Right.
to maybe my favorite division in all of the NFL, the NFC Beast, the absolute 7-6-6 and 4 wins last year for respectively for their teams. Who would your current favorite to win the division be?
My current favorite is probably the Cowboys. That's not who I'm betting to win.
Right.
But I'm guessing the Cowboys.
That would be correct. Assuming Dak makes a close to full recovery, I saw the odds for comeback player of the year today. He's like plus 150.
Right.
But like the only people on there that even could really challenge for it are like Burrow, but like
and Saquon,
Bosa, but like it doesn't feel like they're gonna give it. It feels like it's between Dak and Saquon for me. I don't feel like they give it to a second year player. That doesn't
matter. Right. See, but Saquon and Burrow were both plus 600.
Yeah. I like the Saquon bet a little bit.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a sleeper in fantasy for me. I think he could get picked up in a second round where you're going to be feeling real good about yourself. Or he blows his knee out and he's never in the league again. I mean, who knows with running backs at this point. The shelf life is just so short.
Right.
But Cowboys are plus 125 to win the division. It then goes to the football team at plus 260. The Giants are plus 350. And the Eagles are plus 500. They have projected with the win totals every single team to win more games than they did last year. The odds makers are high on the NFC East, which feels questionable in my opinion.
Give me the rundown here.
Cowboys won 6 last year. Even they were hard to watch that defense at times. Can't say it really got that much better, but at least they have Dak back. 9.5 wins for the Cowboys. Feels kind of high.
I think, yeah, that feels high. I'd set it at 7.5.
I would be surprised if any team got out of this division with more than 4 wins. They're going to beat up on each other way too much. The Cowboys are the favorite, but there's no team that's like way out of the pack.
Right.
If they played and you're like, hey, the Eagles, you know, this week beat the Cowboys 17-14. Are you falling out of your chair? Like, oh my God, the Eagles beat the Cowboys. No, it's not that. The Cowboys will be like 3-point favorites in that game.
Right.
They're way too close. 9.5 seems high. You're going to tell me the division leader? We've been laughing at this division for years now, at the division leader getting into the playoffs with a losing record. And now you're telling me that that team is going to be the Cowboys and they're going to have double-digit wins?
Right.
I don't quite buy it. I would have to look at their schedule. I'm not sure which AFC division they're
I was going to say.
Up with. We can find out. Let's see here. It looks like they are playing. Oh boy, they they are paired up with the AFC West. How are these totals so high? They have to play the Chiefs. They have to play the Raiders.
Okay, the Chargers. We're hammering the under on the NFC East.
You can get plus money on the overs for all 4 of these teams. Which makes sense because everyone's got to be hammering these unders. Right. That's what I kind of hate. You're not rarely getting the even odds on both sides of these team totals. They won't move the actual number. They'll just juice one side or the other. So if you go, it's minus 130 to get the Cowboys under 9.5, minus 141 to go under 8 for the football team. Minus 143 to go under 7 for the Giants and minus 150 to go under for 6.5 for the Eagles. If you're making you put money on this division, where is it going, whether it be an over-under or a division winner?
It's going – so all my money is going on the under because I'm confident at least three will hit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, unless you have some outlier, all four unders will hit.
16 games against the AFC West. What do you think that final record is for the NFC East?
15-1. with Rodgers going to the Broncos.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
15-1. No, realistically speaking, I mean, they probably go 2-2 with the Chargers.
I mean, hope so. That's right. A win for the division. If I'm putting money on this division, I'm betting on it being a crapshoot. We hear it every year come, you know, race to the playoffs time. Someone has to win this division.
Mm-hmm.
Who's it going to be? It's never decided early. It's going to be some, you know, week 18 game that decides it. So I sprinkle a little money on the division odds for the Giants and the Eagles to win the division.
I go straight up Giants.
I'd sprinkle a little bit of both, and it's like, what, that I'd say that probably has like a 40% chance to happen, and the money is definitely maybe a little less, but the money's there to make that bet for me.
Yeah, I'm a big Danny Dimes guy.
It's make or break. He's out if he's bad.
Right. You got Saquon coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as Saquon doesn't get hurt.
They had a good offseason.
Yeah.
Good enough to get him over 7 wins. Can't guarantee that by any means.
Right, but, you know, might only take 6 to win the division.
That would be a new low for this division. All right, that's the north and east of the NFC. Do you want to keep on plowing through here, or do you want to show me how to bet some baseball here?
Let's keep plowing through.
Let's get through.
Let's hammer the NFC. And Monday we'll talk a little baseball.
We'll talk a little baseball Monday. I will dabble. There are some sort 15 or so games on Friday to bet on. I will make my initial plunge of the season into betting baseball, and we will see how it goes on Monday. The lines aren't out yet, so on Wednesday night. So we can't make our any picks right now, but I will report back on Monday and see how it goes.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's each bet 5 games on the money line.
All right.
And see who's up the most units.
All right, let's do it. We'll tweet out both of our 5 picks Friday morning on the Twitter, and then we'll post the results as well, and we'll talk about it on Monday's podcast.
But and let's just for the fun of it, let's just 1 unit, $5.
Sure.
Just.
Yeah, my units change from sport to sport, obviously.
Same. Yeah, my unit in baseball is usually around 20.
Yeah, mine go up in football because you're just betting less.
Yeah.
They're much higher when I'm betting those halftime lines of basketball because you're not even guaranteed to get more than like 2 or 3 a week.
Right.
But the NFC South here, this is the most perplexing line maybe in the league to me. Buccaneers, obviously the favorites.
Yep.
How much of a favorite?
Well, let's see. No Breeze. And the Falcons are the Falcons. The Panthers are the Panthers. I'm thinking minus 150.
Minus 200. Getting half your money back, betting the Buccaneers, who did not win the division last year.
Wow.
11 wins for the Bucs last year, 12 for the Saints. All of a sudden, the Buccaneers win total goes up to 11.5, which I actually think is the bookmakers saying they are slightly worse.
Right.
because there's an extra game, and you think adding one game, the Buccaneers would win that more than half the time. The Saints, who last year, all anyone could talk about is how Breeze can't throw it more than 10 yards, how he's, he can throw the slants. He's a liability out there. Michael Thomas barely played. Their best receiver broke the catches record the year before. He's back. We'll see what he is. You have Jameis, who puts up numbers. He got LASIK, people forget. And they're saying that number, that over-under, is going from 12 down to 9 with an extra game.
Ooh.
Plus 300 to win the division. I think
that's where my money's going.
I'm betting both of those over and to win the division.
I mean,
minus 105 for the over 9.
I mean, say what you want about Winston, but he got the surgery.
He led the league in passing yards.
Right. Have you seen his workout videos? He's been putting it.
He looks so
putting
good.
In the time. Yeah. I mean,
it's hard not to fall in love with guys seeing those videos. But
right.
Like Josh McCown could put out a video and be like, oh my goodness, Josh McCown.
Right.
I didn't know you could
move. I just think I love him even more for the 30-30 season.
Oh, it was beautiful.
I mean.
I believe in him. I just believe in him.
Yeah.
I believe in him for
is that prop
wins.
Out there?
I'm sure it is.
They got a prop on that, another 30-30.
Another 30-30. There's no way. He can't do it. But if you don't believe in Jameis and you think there's the Super Bowl hangover for the Bucs, you get the Falcons plus 800 and the Panthers plus 1,100.
Oof.
Hard bets to make. But they're anticipating both teams improving on their win total from last year. Falcons going from 4 to 7.5. Panthers from 5 to 7.5. So what that says to me,
hammering the under on the Falcons.
They're expecting them to take those wins off the Saints.
Right.
The Saints and the Bills, the only teams in the league to go 6-0 in their division last year. So are they saying the Saints are going to go 3-3 in the division, and that's going to bring them from 12 wins to 9, and the Panthers? Where do the Falcons find 3.5 wins?
That's why I'm hammering the under.
It's dead even. Minus 110 on both sides. People bet both sides of the 7.5 number.
I just don't know where the logic on the over is. I mean, they got Pitts, but is that really that big of a difference? I mean,
I'd say yes if it was a young quarterback. They have Matty Ice.
Right.
I can't imagine. They don't have a guy leaning on a tight end like that. This is one I really want to examine. I want to go into it. Rapid fire. I'm going to read their schedule. Tell me win or loss.
Okay.
Eagles.
Win.
Bucks.
Loss.
Giants.
Loss.
Football team.
Loss.
Jets.
Win.
Dolphins.
Loss.
Panthers. Big game.
I think they split.
They'll split.
I think they win this one.
Saints.
I think they lose both to the Saints and the Bucs.
Probably. Cowboys.
That's a tough. It all depends on Dak. I just don't know how he's going to be. You'd hope by that time he's back to full form. Definitely. So I guess I'll chalk that up as a loss as well then.
That's week 9. You have to think
right
for him by then.
He's Patriots. Either in form or he's hurt again. Oh, that's one of those teams. I think they lose that game.
Jaguars.
I think they win that.
Trevor Lawrence got 10 games under his belt. They could win.
I'm giving them a win there because there's a couple toss-up teams in there. Like Patriots, they could win that game, you know.
Right.
So we'll throw them a win.
Throw them a
win against the Jets.
Bucks. We said they're losing both to them.
Yeah.
Panthers, we already said they won the first game of that series. Yeah. 49ers.
I think they lose that.
Probably. Lions.
We'll get from that one.
Bills.
Loss.
Saints 10 in the season.
So we're at five?
I don't know where they find three more games. The Saints are – what the odds are saying, like, the Saints – my gut reaction is, like, are the Saints going to be playing for something in week 18? But these aren't the Drew Brees Saints. They probably will be.
Right.
We can't see. So we're saying even if they were to beat the Saints, that'd be, like, that would be six wins.
You got to find two more.
Where are these two more coming from? Even if you, like, move some more of the flips that are away – like, so they're at five. Let's say they beat those Patriots. That's six.
Let's say they beat those Cowboys.
Say they beat the Cowboys. That's seven. That's still not enough. And even if, say you,
so that,
say you sweep the Panthers somehow, if you're giving them all these, like, extra ones, you have to think a different one goes the other way. Like, they lose to the Eagles week one or something. Like, another – again – The Eagles beat the Falcons in week one. Unless that's a game I bet, that doesn't even trigger anything in my brain. That's like, okay,
right.
That will not come into effect.
Yeah. What was the Panthers over under?
Seven and a half. They have the same over under.
I mean, and they're playing the same teams.
Same schedule, yeah. I don't see how either of them really do.
What are the lines on the over under?
So that's more over friendly. You can get +110.
Okay.
On the Panthers, -134 on the under. Okay. So people are believing in the Falcons more than the Panthers. What's something that's interesting? What is, so you're saying both these teams 7.5 over under. What then makes the Falcons +800 to win the division and the Panthers +1100? If they're truly similar, why wouldn't you just put that money on the Panthers?
Right. You think the Panthers would be like 6.5, maybe.
I guess the Falcons are like more boom or bust. They're more likely to get to like 10 wins, but probably also more likely to get like 2.
Right.
Like the Panthers feel like they're going to be at like 5 or 6 wins, no matter kind of what happens. Which is weird to say for a team with like such an electric running back. They just seem like consistently bad, not like streaky and bad.
I hate that though. I love Teddy Two Gloves.
Yeah.
I was really hoping he could do something there. Mm-hmm. But
those games is when he was on the Saints were so
right.
They gave so much hope that he was
5-0.
Dominant.
Right.
Yeah, my money there is all on the Saints, I think. I'm not touching any of the other teams in that division.
I mean, personally, right when the Lions came out, I think I got the Bucks right around even, maybe like -125.
That's a good bet.
So I put some cash there, but now with how much the Lions have moved, I might go back and hedge with a little Saints bet.
Yeah, I don't hate that. So finally, the NFC West. Either the most or second most interesting division this year, in my opinion.
I would say, I'd say the most. Are you thinking the AFC West is the other competitor?
That's the one I'm saying. I have a take for the AFC West. We'll get to that maybe next Thursday.
Yeah.
We'll do the AFC side. We'll slot it in sometime soon. But the NFC West. We got even odds, not even odds. We have the same odds for two of the teams to take the division.
Okay.
Rams and 49ers, both you can get at +190.
So this division, I'm going to have a weird bet for you.
Okay.
I'm not taking a division winner. I'm taking a top two.
I like the top two lines. I've been looking. There are some juicy odds in the AFC North that I like with the top two odds.
Okay.
We'll get there as well.
So what do they have the Seahawks and Cards at?
Seahawks, 275. And this is a bet that I am absolutely making. Cardinals to win the division plus 575.
Got them at plus 600 already. They aren't that – like, how are they that much worse?
Kyler was so, so good. They have arguably the best receiver in the league. They just signed J.J. Watt.
Right. You know I'm a huge Cardinals guy. I'm a big Kyler guy, big Isaiah Simmons guy. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Simmons, favorite player.
Yeah.
Favorite player in the league by far of mine. And I put, you don't want to know how much I put on them to win the division. I also sprinkled, I got them at plus 4,000 to win the Super Bowl.
It's a good number.
And then plus it was like 2,200 to win the NFC, I believe.
Good luck with that is currently.
Yeah. I'd probably put a little too much money on the Cardinals, but
there's just juicy lines for a team that should be very good.
Right. And I know, I believe 8 wins last year is what they were at.
And that's their line this year.
Hammered the over on that. They're
not expected to get any better. Although having 8 wins over under for what's projected to be the worst team in the division is saying a lot about that division.
Is it though? I mean, 7.5 was the NFC South, and you've got the Falcons and Panthers.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. <That's> right. Way too high. Where's this? Well, here's a to win the most games in the regular season bet. Chiefs by a lot are obviously the
yeah.
That's a tough division for that. That's the AFC Championship. Where's the NFC Championship winner? So we're both hammering the Cardinals here. Yes. Responsible amounts of money. Responsibly betting the mortgage on the Cardinals to win that.
Yep.
Plus 2,000 currently to win the NFC.
So
that is the ninth lowest odds.
That's just disrespectful.
Behind the Vikings.
That's Vikings just disrespectful. Vikings are plus
1,800.
Sandwiched
right between those Vikings and Bears.
Do sports books? I really don't cash out ever.
Yeah.
Do they typically offer cash out on futures bets?
I've never even tried.
Yeah.
There's always I'm more of a fan of choosing your spot to hedge rather than an early cash out.
Right.
But that can obviously kind of bite you if you mistime it, but that's how I would typically do it.
I'm trying to see here also for them to make playoffs. I got them as well.
Yeah, you're betting them every street you can. But yeah. Let's not ignore that fourth team in the division, the Seahawks. Won it last year, 12 wins.
I'm just not.
275 to win the division again.
I think
Seahawks may have the largest gap between their wins last year and their wins this year in the league going the wrong direction. Obviously, if the Jaguars get 7 wins or something, I don't think the Seahawks are going to match that. But 12 wins last year, wouldn't be surprised to see them below 500 this year at 7 or even 6.
Yeah, especially because they still got contract stuff with Wilson.
Right.
That who knows if that'll be resolved week 1.
Mobile quarterback, wrong side of 30 now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I love DK Metcalf.
Who doesn't? He's so good, but the defense is not what it was.
Right. There's no Legion of Boom.
It's hard to look at those colors and say mediocre defense, but right. That's exactly what they have.
Right.
They're over under 9.5. I just don't know where they get those wins.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
3 in the division feels like a big win for them. And they got to find 7 more somewhere. It's possible. This is absolutely a division that could have every team go 3-3 in it. Every single team.
Yes.
There's not a bad team, really.
I think it's most likely outside of the NFC East. It's just for different reasons.
I'd agree with that.
This division is just so good. And
someone they can beat up on.
Right. I'm trying to find the line of the bet that I personally love in this division. It is, okay, yeah, dual forecast. Pick the two teams to finish first and second in any order in the division. Mm-hmm. I'm loving sprinkling Cardinals, Rams, and Cardinals, Niners. They're both 7-1 payout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Cardinals are going to be up there no matter what, top two. And I think the Seahawks are for sure bottom two.
The infatuation with the 49ers seems premature to me.
I think they're overhyped.
This happens a lot, where there's a kind of a team that the media and even the line makers choose as the it's their time team. And typically they are a year early. 2 years ago, the dark days are over. It is time for the Browns. They are a contender. Who was it that picked them to go like 15-1 or something?
Right.
Preseason. They were okay. Year early on it. Let those guys get used to being on a competitive team. The year after is when they'll flourish. Not this year for the 49ers. Next year, that division might be theirs.
Right. I just see the division running down as Cards, Rams, Niners, Seahawks, Niners. Sorry. I got Niners at the bottom personally, but I also could see them running it back to 2 years ago.
Right.
You know,
the Rams are very good. That defense, the star power at the top is just hard to turn your nose up at. No one's going to be surprised if they win the division. Even having that infatuation with the 49ers, dragging that line up to plus 190 for the Rams, that's value for me as well. I don't know if I can bet it as high as I am in the Cardinals, but I think I will sprinkle that line because there's absolutely a world where the Cardinals finish with 10-11 wins and that's second place in this division.
Yeah. The thing with the Rams is I could see them potentially dropping one or two big games early, just getting used, you know, Stafford's getting used to the new system. I mean, luckily he got traded this offseason opposed to last one.
No kidding, yeah. It's like we were saying before with Stafford, though. Everyone believes in him so hard that he's going to be the guy with the Rams now. And although I tend to agree with that take, I hear it so much, and I see so many people hammering this 10.5 over for the Rams, despite being in such a tough division. I'm tempted to just zag when everyone else is zigging.
Right.
And just go under for the Rams. It goes against everything I kind of think, but we've seen this talent level on this exact team flop before. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's definitely possible. The 17 games is messing with me a little bit because double-digit wins seem so much more attainable now.
Right.
to get to 11 wins is still a feat, though. And
in the division, what's the payout on the under?
139. People are betting it. You're plus money taking any of the overs in this division.
Okay.
Which makes sense. They're going to beat up on each other. This division is so talented. They're going to have to go get those wins to get up to those double digit numbers.
Who's their elsewhere. AFC?
Their AFC will be. No, we haven't seen it from the other side. Let me just look at the Rams schedule. They will match up with the South. So they'll get the Colts, the Titans, Jags.
Okay, so it's not crazy to assume each of those teams could split those AFC South matchups. I mean, the Titans and Colts are both good.
We'll get to it when we get to the AFC. Do you believe in the Colts?
I don't.
Me neither. We'll go more in depth, but a new scenery can only do too much, and I just don't believe in Carson Wentz.
Right.
So I could see them being a big flop, and that's as far as AFC division matchups can go. You're pretty happy to pull the South there.
Right.
So, but for those numbers to go over, you need three teams above 10 wins to hit your overs in the NFC West. That division is going 11, 11, 10, and 9 wins.
Which I'll gladly take the 9.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, take the 9. Both those 11s aren't going to happen. If I could parlay a hedge bet against the Rams and 49ers both going 11 wins and get like minus 600 odds or something, I'd still probably do it because there's no way that happens.
Right.
So out of the NFC, what is your favorite division odd, your favorite over, and your favorite under? I can read them back if you need a refresher.
No, I believe I got mine. Mm-hmm. As sad as it is to say, I think my favorite under. Wait, no, the Packers.
The line's not available. Yeah.
Line's not available. Yeah. Let me pull those up quick.
I'll go.
Unless first. You got them offhand.
Oh, for what?
The team total wins. Okay, no, I got them here. Yeah. I'm thinking my favorite under is probably I'm gonna roll with the Cowboys. I don't see the Cowboys hitting double digits. And then as for the over and division odds, believe it or not, it's the same team. The one that I've been hyping up for the last 10 minutes, the Cardinals. I just – all those teams are just too close to each other.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, they're all
very good. For the Cardinals to just get disrespected like that.
What's the one thing that you can point to on the Seahawks and say that is why they're definitely better than the Cardinals?
And that's nothing. I think the Cardinals have a better defense.
Your best case is saying that Russell Wilson is still a premier quarterback, but who's to say Kyler isn't just as good this year?
Right.
Especially with him not being happy with the situation. But I will go my best bets here. Division odds, I'm taking the Saints plus 300. The Buccaneers have to play that Super Bowl winning schedule. It's not going to be easy for them. Brady isn't that – he's going to get to the playoffs, but he's not going to go win 13, 14 games. Right. I think James will be just fine. There's no – I don't see him being less than 90% of what Drew Brees was last year. And they, you can't even compare them. They're such different players, especially Brees at such being so diminished at the end there. My favorite under, it's either the Seahawks, who I just got done trashing. But in order not to go too NFC West heavy, I think I just got to pick the Lions. I don't see them getting
under five. Yeah.
Five's a lot of wins. And five, I like it being right on that number. That might push at five, but it's not getting to six.
Right.
Like if that number was like at 5.5, I would love it. If that was 4.5, anything that low, I'd get a little scared. But five, I'm perfectly comfortable taking that number. My favorite over, I'm tempted to pick just one of the middle teams in the NFC East, just because somebody's got to eat up those.
So my honorable mention one is going to be the Giants on the
That's over. The one I was looking for, though, but it's so hard. They could just get beat up by either beat up by the, right. The NFC. Well, like happens every year. My favorite over, I might have to give it. I'm going to go Bears.
Bears?
7.5. That's a half game less than last year. If Rodgers doesn't play, that has to be a boost. You're saying they're getting an extra game and getting worse from this year, from last year to this year. I just don't buy it. You're getting plus money on betting that over. 7.5. We're gonna get to week 8 or 9. It's either gonna look really good or really bad. We're not gonna be at week 9, and the Bears are not gonna be 4-5. They're gonna be like 2-7, or it's gonna be. The Bears have 7 wins already. Like, they're one of those teams. They're either going to scratch and claw their way over the last, like, 5 or 6 games just to get to the – you're just going to look up one day, and the Bears are going to be at 9 wins. Or they're going to do the more likely thing, and they're going to be awesome out of the rip. It's like the Bears are back this year. The Packers are dead. They're at 8-9 wins, and they're going to fall off a cliff and get a wild card and get bounced in the first round. Right. Either way, I see that number being over 7.5. My gut says that's a playoff team, and they're not getting there unless they're getting over 7.5. So that's going to be my over pick.
I respect that. I mean, there's a good chance they go 4-2 in the division.
I'm definitely going to put money on that line because – that's a team I'm going to want to watch this year, which I don't think is something you really would say about the Bears.
Right.
A while. But that Allen Robinson, like, that team is going to be exciting. I'm definitely going to get suckered and have David Montgomery on my fantasy team. He's one of those guys who always shows up for me, which was pretty good last year.
But that's okay. Allen Robinson's that guy for me.
But it's weird that it's the Bears because the guy before him – for, I think, 6 consecutive years in the same league, I had Tariq Cohen every single year.
Oh.
And it was not a keeper league. I just drafted him every year. I was just like, he returns punts. Like, he's going to score a couple punt return touchdowns. Like, I loved him. But so I got a soft spot for my boy there. But, yeah, no, I got the Saints division, Bears over, Seahawks under. Cody likes the Cardinals, bet them 6 ways to Sunday, and believes in what the Giants and the – what was your under pick?
I took the Cowboys.
Cowboys. I like that. Just bet the low expectation teams in the NFC East, bet against the high expectation teams, anything can happen at the end.
So I guess my question for you now is, odds aside, and we can look at them after we submit our picks, mm-hmm. Who's winning the NFC? Who's going to the Super Bowl, represent the NFC?
to pick today. I can't go with the Buccaneers. I just don't see it. That schedule gets so grueling. He's got to fall off at some point. He is human. I can't pick him. The odds aren't even going to be that juicy for him. We had him up earlier. Obviously, to win the NFC, they're going to get decent odds, but they're plus 300. That's just not good enough for me to take them. Right, playing a Super Bowl winning schedule.
Right.
The 49ers are much too high. Packers being fourth. I don't like the NFC this year. I don't. The top four teams are the Bucs, Rams, 49ers, Packers. I'm going to say the Rams. My sleeper pick is the Saints. You get the Rams at plus 600, the Saints at plus 1300. The Cowboys, Seahawks, and Packers are the three teams immediately ahead of the Saints. And I don't see a good reason to say that they're definitely better than the Saints.
I'd have to agree with that.
And the 49ers. The 49ers, you're getting twice as good odds to bet on the Saints as you are the 49ers to win the conference. That feels off to me. Are you going to ride the smart money and go with the Bucs?
So my gut tells me, thankfully, I learned pretty early on not to bet against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
My gut's telling me not to bet against him.
Mm-hmm.
My heart wants to go with Matt Stafford. I just want the guy to win so bad.
I think your heart wants to go with Kyler.
But the left part of my heart wants the Rams. The right part wants the Cards.
Yeah.
I wonder if realistically you can find a line, speaking,
what the line would be that the NFC representative would come from that conference.
Yeah, I don't.
Because all four teams have a legitimate chance at it.
Right. I mean, they'd probably be pretty.
They're four of the top nine teams.
Right. I think there's really only a handful of teams that even have a shot, like that you can even put in the conversation. Yeah. I mean, the Bucs, you just gotta.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, defending Super Bowl champs, you got Brady. They brought all 22 guys back. The band is back together.
Okay.
I think you can put the Saints in the conversation. I think the Rams need to be in there.
Have to.
Weirdly enough, just because of the talent, I wouldn't be completely shocked if the Vikings. What are their odds?
They're plus 1,800.
So they're right the same as. Okay. That really wouldn't shock me. I mean, they've pretty much just beaten themselves year after year. I don't know. I guess if I had to put money on it, I like your logic with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put money on the Bucs just to win the entire conference. Is not plus 300 is not good.
No, it's not gonna. Anything could happen. An injury week 11, and all of a sudden it's.
Well, I already told you I have way too much money on the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I'll probably end up sprinkling Rams just because I want Matty Ice 2.0 to do it.
There you go.
And probably sprinkle on the Saints as well.
Mm-hmm. The Rams at plus 600. It does. they're saying the Buccaneers are twice as likely to make the Super Bowl as the Rams are, and that simply can't be true.
Right.
For our first episode of Weekly Winners, I will leave you guys with one weird one. Someone's got to make the playoffs out of the NFC East. And have we seen a team make the wild card? There's not going to be a wild card at that division. But someone's got to win it, play in the first weekend. An elite defense is playing well, gets pressure on the quarterback. Cinderella story makes it through to the Super Bowl. What teams have we seen do that before? The New York Giants. That defense could be special, plus 2,800 to do it. The odds for them to make the playoffs are not that long, that much of a long shot. If they get there, and if Danny Dimes can be serviceable, that's the long shot. No one else in their realm of the odds are in that same company, I don't think.
Giants are shocking the world.
They have the one feature that something could happen. Things could go right for them at the end of the season. Washington has that great defense as well. But look, Brian Fitzpatrick, he's exciting. But he doesn't have the weapons to compete with other playoff-level defenses. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. We'll save some of the talk for when we do the AFC next week on Thursday. Let's leave it off there. We'll be betting our baseball on Friday. We'll update that on our Monday show and then give you guys some picks for upcoming baseball picks for that week. Thank you for listening to the first episode of Weekly Winners. We will see you on Monday.